sitting here at my grandpa's house. He is about 75 years old and married to his wife for 50 years. He has two sons, but the question is, how did he get to where he is today? He grew up in poverty with most of the people surrounding him being poor as well. We are going to look at what some of the experiences he had were, and some of the funny stories of his childhoods, and things he went through as an underprivileged kid. What are some experiences he had, and we are going to specifically look at the extremes that he experienced and how he always remained optimistic no matter how he was treated. How he passed the time when he was poor also. There's this specific story that he wants to tell first about Camp Happy. Camp Happy was not a nice place, and it stood out to him because it was one of those camps that you had to go to because it was free.
Miserable. So what they did was we got the for lesser kids with lesser money. They couldn't go to better camps on their privilege and all that. So we didn't get that. So we went to this free camp which they paid for, but it wasn't a good camp. They were mean there. In fact, I'll give you one for instance. There was one kid who they took him because he was a little heavy, tied his hands to the rafters, and they beat him with the cot sticks. They thought it was funny. And then they used to take a kid around, the toughest one from each cabin, and make him fight each person until, you know, he lost and somebody else won. So fortunately enough, I got out of that. But then I used to have this other kid, Robert. He went with me, and he would always get in trouble. And every time he'd ask me, I'd have to fight for him because he wouldn't fight nobody. He'd just ship him on me. So then we decided to take off up the hill and run away. So we went up the hill, and one kid, there was three of us. One kid looked in the bush. He said, "Ooh, look at the rabbits, and here there were rattlesnakes. So we took off running down the hill toward the cabins again, and then this one kid hit a beehive. And boy, did he get stung. That kid pretty damn near died. They got in touch with his parents. They were here there the next day, and they took him away. I don't know whatever happened to him. That was one of the exciting things. Then another exciting thing was they caught me and Robert in the pool. It was the big pool. It wasn't the small pool. And we didn't pass the test to go back and forth. You're supposed to swim the length of the pool and back, and then you can swim in the pool. Well, we didn't do that, and they caught us. So now we're both in the middle of the pool in, like, say, maybe 6-7 foot of water, nearly 8 feet, and they held us out there with the big poles that they cleaned the pool with. And they held us out there until we pretty damn near drowned. Then they finally got us in, and then we had to do the swimming and swim back, but meanwhile, they almost drowned our asses. We used to have prisoners cooking for us. Well, every morning, we'd have the same thing, cereal, with maybe raisins in it, you know, something. But this time, there was a lot of ants in there. But I would pick away the ants because I was hungry. I mean, I wanted to eat. I'd pick away the ants and eat the cereal. So then we had one kid there that he was very, he's a poor kid. I used to tease him. I was like a bully. And I shouldn't have been that way. I'm sorry. But we used to fight for his goodies, like his applesauce or something that was good, a piece of cake or something. But then we would tease him. We'd say, "Hey, monster, we call him. We call him another name. I forgot what it was. But we used to squeeze the sore and say, "Ooh, look at the pus come out," and he wouldn't eat his fruit. So we would get that and split that. That was mean to do, but we did. And then the one kid, we were all like 20 of us in a cabin, and we used to get up early and have to clean up and do everything to win a pennant. So this one kid wouldn't get out of the cot one day. So we peed in the cot this way, and then we called them pee head and all the names that went with it. and he hung all his things out in the line to dress, to dry out, and he took a beating for that. And that was an interesting thing about Camp Happy. Then it was time to come home, so my mother was supposed to meet us at the bus terminal or the school where we got dropped off, and she wasn't around, so I took off running away. I mean, I don't know where I was going, but I disappeared real fast, and I'm going down. I was totally lost. So then a lady was on one of the porches in a row house, and she called me and said, you lost, little boy? I said, yeah, I'm lost. She said, come over here. And she gave me cake, cookies, and before you know it, the police car comes up. I said, I ain't going in that police car. She said, oh, yeah, they're going to take you home. Well, they scared me to go in there so he could take me home. So while he's taking me home, I slid down in the seat so nobody would see me because I was embarrassed. But they finally got me home, and I got a good licking for that. So I didn't only get it from getting a Camp Happy. I got it from running away, from not waiting. And my old man was pretty well pissed off.
Although Camp Happy was very, very interesting, I couldn't grasp my mind around why people did these things and why this stuff happened back then. So I then asked him a few questions about why this is like this and why is Camp Happy the way it is, and do you think it's a lot different from what it is now and whatnot.
We didn't have much money. We never went anywhere. We didn't have no pools and all them goodies like they do today. But we still had fun. We used to stand on the corner, roast potatoes, steal the potatoes naturally, and we used to roast them in the fire. It was all for fun. Everything was for fun. We didn't damage no property or nothing. We just thought it was fun. But it was a little costly because nobody had any money back then. I mean, you were talking big money for us. We used to shake a kid down for his money for to buy pretzels. I mean, that was a dirty thing to do, but, you know, what the hell. So getting to that story is, when I went to Dobbins, we had the shops for different trades. So we had this one big guy, and he was a stubborn guy, and he was always causing trouble. So what we did was we got his sneakers. His gym sneakers, we screwed him to the desk, and then he couldn't get him up. You know, he's trying to get his sneakers up. He ripped them apart. And then one time same guy was still causing a lot of trouble. So we got the sawdust and we put it in a sandwich, and he was eating it and never knew the difference. He was a big dummy. And they were all fun things we did. They were. Maybe mean a little, but they weren't harmless. We weren't, you know, we weren't that hurt you that way. Well, we weren't really that mean, but we could have. Things would have been different if you come from a different thing. You know, when you had a lot of money is one thing. When we were poor, nobody had any money. We were all poor at that time. But we did a lot of things that were good, you know, like I won a rowing contest. I got a nice thing for that. And then I won a rowing. I did rowing. I did, there was a couple of things I did that all clean fun. It was good. We were happy, though. We didn't have much. We used to play rough and tumble, beat the hell out of each other. used to pile on. I had an uncle, he was crippled, but he was on the bottom of the pile all the time and took a beating. We punch him, but he was a sport, you know. And that's the way we had fun. It was rough and tumble fun. But we didn't take no crap from each other either, and nobody. So that was one good thing. And it turned out okay. We all turned out okay. Well, we were pretty much honest anyway. And we didn't lie our way out of nothing. We we just went along with the game.
What I mean is, like, as you grew up, how'd you go upon things to get where you are today, where you're not?
Determination and hard work. I mean, I don't have a lot of money today, but I'm not hurting for no money either. And I was in construction for a lot of years, and that kept you pretty busy and tired. But it was nice.
And
it's what I wanted to do.
And your wife, she never worked or
no,
anything.
No.
Is that how everyone was?
Yes, it was different times. No, most of the women didn't work. And that's the way it was. Not like today. And they're better today because they're more independent. And they work for themselves. They make their own money. And look at political, just in the political arena, how advanced a woman came. So they came a long way, too.
And for the last question, what do you think about other ethnicities being where all your history is from where you grew up at?
Oh, I thought it was great. I liked the neighborhoods that were all one nationality because they seemed to get along better, whether it were Irish or German or French or, you know, everybody had their own little sections. New York with the Jewish and the Irish and they seemed to work better when they were just independent from each other but still friendly to each other.
What do you think about now having most of the people that used to live there moving out to the suburbs?
Well, things change so much that everybody with different languages is mixing together now, and it's a melting pot. That's the way it is. It's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, just speak English. Make English your speaking language. And use your ethnic background to speak whatever language you want. German, French, Italian. But the English language should be the language.
And are there any traditions that you still withhold today?
Oh, I'm very patriotic. I respect the flag, and I think most people do. And I think not to get too political, but I think the party that they have today is great for the country. And that's it.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
From this one get together at my grandfather's house, I learned a lot of things, especially how much he had to overcome during his lifetime. Just one of these experiences, like Camp Happy, has touched his life and most likely inspired him to get out of that kind of area that he was in. A lot of people were poor, and it seems as if a lot of people that grew up in my grandfather's neighborhood also had inspiration to become something that they weren't able to do, or people said they weren't able to do. My grandfather decided to do construction, and when he decided to do construction, he got onto a good path. He was in the union for over 25 years, and I don't think I could ever have the inspiration like he did. He always was happy and optimistic and never looked at what he didn't have. He always looked at what he did have. And that's what I think I could never do in my life. I don't think if I was in poverty I would be able to overcome that.
I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it.